Many of you know that I generally speak on this Sunday in the month. Last Sunday, I spoke about creation and about the changes that were happening in it, and I think we've been given much demonstration of that in the weeks following. I can't promise that we'll have on this strange story of the transfiguration quite the same. Some of you may have heard this story about Sherlock Holmes and Dr. Watson, who decided they would go hiking and camping. And they pitched their tent under the stars and went off happily to sleep. About midnight, Holmes wakes Watson and says, Watson, look, tell me, what can you see? Watson says, I see millions of stars. Yes? Well, there are millions. Perhaps a few have planets on them. Perhaps some of those might be like Earth. And there might be life there, Holmes. There was a pause, and Holmes said in a rather exasperated voice, Watson, someone has stolen our tent. It's an old joke, but it makes the point. We sometimes try our best to see and listen and explain what's in front of us, but we can miss the obvious. Mothers Union, we have a motto that's used worldwide. It's M-U-L-O-A, Muloa. But it's the L-O-A I want to mention. Listen, observe, act. In that order. Listen, observe, act. The story of Jesus' transfiguration on the mountain is an extraordinary event. And we need to try and take something from it this morning. The words that speak to me were those words from the voice. This is my son, whom I love. Listen. Listen to him. Listen, observe, act. I think I take this as a challenge, and it's part of our theme for Lent, as I'll mention later. Listen. We need a deeper listening. It's possible, particularly for those familiar, like those apostles who'd been with Jesus, day, week, month, to miss sometimes the obvious. And disciples can do that today. So what actually happened? What can it mean? What can we learn from it? What happened? It's in all three of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, with slight variations. It's a mountaintop experience. You heard that story of Moses in Sinai and the many parallels in the picture there. But there's other mountains. Jerusalem is called Mount Zion. In the New Testament, we have the Sermon on the Mount. We have the Mount of Olives. Mountains have a real place. Sometimes we speak of mountaintop experiences, the deepest experiences of God we have. There's a trap in resting on those, though, because we're called to listen to him throughout our life of faith. Some scholars try and see this as not quite true. Somebody was trying to write back the resurrection experience into Jesus' life. But there seemed too many details for that. It was 6 days after that wonderful declaration by Peter that Jesus was the Messiah. And you may remember, he didn't like what Jesus replied to that. Because Jesus was speaking here, and take note of this, I shall mention it throughout. It was at this time that Jesus began to speak most clearly of his suffering and his death and his resurrection. And the story tells us that the reason the prophets were there were to support Jesus' death in Jerusalem. These details and all sorts of things about the story, not just the timing. Jesus was praying. The disciples were, once again, sleepy. All sorts of details. Something really happened. We may not know all the details. We may have questions about some of it. We can't be sure. Something very significant happened. And the voice from heaven said, "This is my son. Listen to him." So what could it mean? Well, it was all in this context. And from here on to the end of his life, Jesus was explaining he was coming to die for us and to rise again. And they didn't like it. This is where those famous words, "Get thee behind me, Satan," when Peter says, "No, we don't want that." And Jesus said, "Your denial is the devil's work. Don't be ashamed of what I'm telling you and what I'm going to do." Strong, strong stuff. Moses and Elijah in Luke's gospel say were to support Jesus in his death in Jerusalem. One scholar says there's no way to understand who Jesus is till one's seen him suffer, die, and rise again. This is the essence of our good news. And it is possible, even as a disciple, to miss the obvious. What can we learn? Listen, observe, do. Listen to him. What can we learn? It's a Sunday before Lent. Perhaps some of you are not aware of what our Lent course is called. It's called Opening the Scriptures. And the first thing I think we can learn is to listen to God. We have a God who speaks, and he's given us the Bible. Lent, our Lent course, is a challenge to renew, to deepen our familiarity with Scripture. You may care to read through the Gospels, or read a psalm a day, or even on a tablet turn up morning prayer for the day where combinations of these are given. Turning to God's Word, traditionally a place to deepen our faith and knowledge of Jesus. Our Lent course is called Opening the Scriptures. More later. There are courses, Lent books, and all sorts to follow these things. But what can we learn from that? What's been mentioned? What is the essence of the gospel? And why we come to remember him Sunday after Sunday? This is the part that Jesus said, "Do this and remember what God has done through me for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is the essence of it. There are so many things we can listen to. So much. But this is a focus to deepen our faith in the gospel and listen to Jesus. What if Jesus had taken some of us up the mountain? Peter was there, and of course, as we find in several places, he blurts out a response. In this case, he wants to start a building project. I saw a couple of people wince. What would we have responded? You can really sympathize with those three there. This almost indescribable experience. They didn't know how to respond. They wanted to be faithful. The voice from heaven directs them to listen to Jesus and to the essence of the truth that he was trying to put over. And if you get to go through the Gospels in these last chapters, for instance, in Mark 8, 9, 10, time and again, Jesus says, I want to tell you that God has sent me to suffer for your sins, for your forgiveness, to rise again, to demonstrate what God has done for you. This they had to be told time and time again. And Peter, even at the end, seemed to betray him. But remember how God turned his life again around. This is my own dear son. Listen to him. How can we do this? There's that old hymn, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. It has, breathe through the heats of our desire thy coolness and thy balm. Let sense be dumb, let flesh retire. Speak through the earthquake, word and fire. O still, small voice of calm. And Dillis has mentioned this already. Often, in the unexpected, the still, small voice speaks to us now. So as well as scripture, the second thing I want to mention is people, relationships. So very often, God speaks to us. We find Jesus in other people, our fellow Christians in particular. And I think it calls us to deepen our relationships, to listen. Very often in our friendships, we're eager to get our point across. Sometimes we don't even hear what's being said to us because I've brought my piece of news to church. Listen. Deepening relationships requires a deeper listening. And we may hear things from him. Listen deeply to other people. We are the body of Christ. Perhaps we should pray for a better listening. Particularly not easy for Christian leaders, I say to myself. But we are a body of many parts. We need to share and receive. It takes a little effort. This is about listening more deeply. And thirdly, God's world, the community around us to listen to what God is saying through them. Remember our former archbishop's words. Rowan Williams said, go out into the world, find where God is at work, and join him. There used to be rather more of a view that God worked in church and not out there with them. This is a direction that's different. Go out into the world, find where God's at work and join him. Scripture, relationships with other people, and thirdly, with God's world. For God is Lord of all. Listen, engage, act. Involved of all these forms of listening is a great deal more silence than we're commonly used to. It was never easy for Peter. He always had an answer. But in all his failures, look how God used him. Look how God used him. So resolve this Lent to say rather less and to listen more. We've got a course, and it is about listening to Scripture. Ask God to open your mind and heart to him in a fresh way. An opportunity to listen, observe, then act. This is my son. Listen to him. Don't be a Dr. Watson and miss obvious things that God may be saying to you and to us. However glorious other things may seem, this is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Amen.